Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome to our Good Friday service. We welcome Pastor Mark from the Presbyterian Church and the Presbyterian Gist. We are glad that you have joined us together. I've heard lots of compliments and comments that last night, Monday, Thursday, was so wonderful.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it went well.
I thought so.
Yeah. We enjoy working teaming together. So we welcome you. We do want you to know that as you leave the service today, that you leave in silence, please. So, Mark, we're going to let you start with our greeting.
Thank you. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree,
that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, was lifted high upon the cross so that he might draw the whole world to himself. Grant that we, who glory in this death for our salvation, may also glory in his call to take up our cross and follow him through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll sing, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. Please stand as you are able.
Our Old Testament reading this afternoon comes out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, verse 13 through chapter 53, verse 12. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be exalted and lifted up, and he shall be very high. Just as there were many who were astonished at him, so marred was his appearance beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of mortals. So he shall startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told, them they shall see. And that which is not heard, they shall contemplate. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one of those, one form of who others hide their faces. And he was despised, and he held no account. Surely he has borne of our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid him on the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living and stricken for the transgressions of my people. They made his grave in the wicked in his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was with the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make my righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
And now you can stand as able as we sing, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. may be seated. Today I'm going to be reading out of the New Testament, out of Hebrews chapter 10, 16 to 25. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from our guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for who he promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Word of God for the people of God. And in your bulletin is not a scripture that I'm going to read. As the Spirit moves me, it is more of the Good Friday reading, chapter 19 of John, 16b to 30. Hear these words. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which is called Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross, and it read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. And the chief priest of the Jews protested to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but this man claimed to be the King of the Jews. And Pilate said, what I have written, I've written. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his cloths, dividing them into four shares, one for each one of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture may be fulfilled. With that said, they divided my cloths among me and cast lots for my garment. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing near, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple John, here is your mother. From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. And later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord. And now may there be less and less of me and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. We come together today to celebrate what we call Good Friday, the day that Jesus is crucified. And he was crucified, and before he was crucified, he'd been beaten and whipped and scorned with the crown of thorns. And then he made his way down the path of the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, carrying part of the cross that he would be lifted up on. When he arrived at the skull, the Golgotha, as we call it, they nailed him, his hands and his feet, and he hung on the cross. Now, as he hung on the cross from 9 to 3, he would say different words, sayings that he wanted us to hear to begin to understand what that meant. But every time when he was on the cross and he needed to speak, being hung on a cross was like asphyxiation. So he would have to lift himself up off the nails to be able to breathe and say these words, which was excruciating. He was already tired. He'd already been in pain, and now more suffering. But it was important that he spoke. This Lenten season, our church has done a Bible study by Adam Hamilton called The Walk, which talked about five essential disciplines, spiritual disciplines, that we are to follow. And in his last chapter of the book, Adam Hamilton shared the Christ sayings, the last words that he had spoken, to coordinate with the spiritual disciplines that we are to follow. Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? In a devotional that I was reading this morning, the person actually said, my dad, why have you forsaken me? For Jesus is calling out to his Father, our God, why aren't you here? And Adam puts that part under worship and prayer because he's praying to God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you not here with me? You see, we have to understand that God had to separate from Jesus in order for everybody in the world to be drawn to Jesus, that he would die for us. Jesus is so ready to be with his God, his dad, his father. And he's so committed to being faithful and obedient that he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Adam encouraged us in his book that we do daily, saying that same thing before we even rise from our bed, to say, God, here is my spirit. I commit myself to you. That we understand that Jesus is also quoting scriptures in his last words, but also he's worshiping and praying to God. Here I am, Lord, my God, my Father. I give all of myself to you. He says, as we read, woman, here is your son, and to the disciple, here is your mother. Encouraging them to serve one another, to help one another, to care for one another. And the importance of us to care for our parents, honoring them, and for others that may be like our parents, because maybe our parents have passed from this earth, or to share with others the caring attitude and love that Jesus has shared in his ministry and even from the cross. So will we follow and be faithful and obedient, caring for parents, for others, serving them. And we know the two that were on each one of Jesus' side were thieves and robbers and murderers. We don't know, but they have been coming to be sacrificed, to die on the cross for their behavior. And one of them says he understands who Jesus is. And this man did not desire to die. But he speaks of the two thieves on the cross, that they did deserve to die, but not this man. And so then Jesus replies with these words, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus later says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." But again, we know the rest of the story. We know that he had to be beaten. He had to be hung on the cross to die for you and I, for our forgiveness of our sins. He's witnessing on the cross already that if he, one who is divine and human, says forgive, then ought we should learn that we too should forgive one another? He's being an example, sharing and witnessing of his faith, so we should too. He then says, "I am thirsty." And they give him a drink. Another example of giving and generosity of what God has done for us in his Son, Jesus Christ, that he's giving himself. He completely empties himself. He's thirsty. I imagine in that hot culture, that hot weather culture at that time, in the heat of the day, he would be thirsty. Because this was timing coming upon 3, and he'd hung since 9 in the morning. But he knew when he said, "I am thirsty," he had completely emptied himself out. Completely emptied himself out for you and I. And after his drink, he said, "It is finished." He witnessed to us what he had come, his purpose on life in this earth was to die, and his purpose was now over. I share those briefly with you because I want us to understand that in our walk, in our spiritual disciplines, we were given each one of these, worship and prayer to follow, to study, to serve others, to share our faith and witness, and give generously to our Lord God. As Jesus said each one of those sayings on the cross, he related each one of those in his book, Adam Hamilton related each one of those in his book, The Walk. For us, that we should follow these are Jesus' last words. They're important words. He was in excruciating pain giving us these words that we should hear and understand and follow the rest of our journey in Christianity. Again, to be in worship and pray to our Father, to study and learn the scriptures. Jesus was saying these scriptures in the time of crisis because he'd been taught them and he knew them, and it was him. He showed on Monday, Thursday, as we talked about last night, serving and serving humbly as he washed the disciples' feet, that we all are to serve one another, his mother and his disciple serving each other we should too. And we're all here called to give generously, because when we give, we're giving to God, not just the church. We're giving that his ministry may be continued, and that we share that last piece of Adam Hamilton's book, that we share our faith and witness. Now, I heard Mark say last night, I don't know why we call it Good Friday. It doesn't seem to be good. I mean, Jesus died. He was stripped. He was, he had that crown of thorns put on his head. He was beaten. And he hung on a cross in humility, but in humiliation. He did that for you and I. I think the reason we call it good as a Friday is because he died for you and I. He emptied himself completely. He showed us how we should live, and then he says it's finished. What if he not died on the cross? Our sins would not be forgiven. We wouldn't probably even have church or Christianity. He had to die on the cross in order for us to have hope for a future, to be able to be forgiven, that we can be made whole and have hope for life eternal. That's why I wanted to read Hebrews to connect with John. That Hebrew speaks of our faith, and we are to persevere and to walk with Christ on our journey. Not to give up, but to know that the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ is with us, and that in that we need to continue to grow in our faith, to learn, to study, to share. We need to live in obedience and be faithful. We need to be Christ to the world. And especially in these days and times, we need to show others that there is hope. Jesus completely emptied himself for you and I, dying on the cross that we may be saved, that we may be forgiven, that we may be loved, that we will have hope and eternal life as we have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hebrews shares with us that God and Jesus desires that we have a sincere heart to encourage one another, to love and have good deeds, and to hold on to the hope, to believe and follow Jesus as he gave sacrificially for you and me. He gave his life. Should we not want to completely give back our life to him? In a few minutes, Mark and I will be sharing Christ's lament over his faithless church, which is in our book of worship. I pray that you and I will hear so that we can understand and follow Christ to be him to the world, that we are his hands and feet, and that a light will shine in and through us in a world of darkness. See, darkness fell on Jesus that fateful day. He hung on the cross, and the sky turned black, and an earthquake occurred, so that the curtain would be broken. That curtain is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We no longer need to go to others in order to speak to Jesus. We can go directly to him and communicate and have a friendship, a relationship with our Lord Jesus. See, it wasn't for just the people then, it's for all of us now. And even in the future, we all can now go to Christ freely. So Jesus says in our scripture in Hebrews, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Jesus not only said this, but he did this. Therefore, we can know what Jesus wants from us: to love, to worship, to pray, to give, to study, to share, to be Christ's hands and feet to the entire world, to love one another, be faithful, growing in our faith, persevering so that we glorify the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who suffered, who gave his life sacrificially, who emptied himself for you and for me. Will we now not follow his words? Will we not be faithful and obedient? Will we not call it good because he died for us, that we could be saved? But we have to understand this day that he suffered. And sometimes we will suffer. There can be darkness in our world. And so we can't go from last Sunday, Palm Sunday, to Easter when we celebrate both days without walking through the dark time of Good Friday. That Jesus suffered, but he did it because he loves us. That you and I can be saved, that you and I can be forgiven, that you and I can have hope, and that we can be the light to the rest of the world. Amen. Today we're going to do an offering, and we decided that on our offering, the plate is in the back. As the ushers come, they can bring it to you if you like. It's going to go for the backpack program because we work together with the Presbyterian Church to help feed the children, to get food. And so we will partake in that offering and send it in for the backpack program.
If you bow your heads with me. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you continue to provide us, the blessings in each of our lives, Lord. Today we give a portion back to you, back in a way that can help feed those that have no food, to provide a glimmer of hope for those that may have no hope. Lord, it is through the missions of the church, through the extension of the body of Christ that we are, that we do your work in a world filled with strife, in conflict, in need. Lord, we ask that you bless these gifts presented today, that you multiply them, provide a bountiful harvest to spread your light in this world. And with that, we pray as Christ taught the disciples: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The reproaches Christ lament against his faithless church. Oh, my people, oh, my church, what have I done to you? And what have I offended you? I led you forth from the land of Egypt and delivered you by the waters of baptism. You have prepared a cross for your Savior.
I led you through the desert 40 years and fed you with manna. I brought you through times of persecution and of renewal and gave you my body, the bread of heaven, but you have prepared a cross for your Savior.
I made you branches of my vineyard and gave you the water of salvation. When I was thirsty, you gave me vinegar and gall and pierced with a spear the side of your Savior.
I went before you in a pillar of cloud, but you have led me to the judgment hall of Pilate. I brought you to a land of freedom and prosperity, but you have scourged, mocked, and beaten me.
I gave you a royal scepter and bestowed the keys to the kingdom. You have given me a crown of thorns. I raised you on high with great power. You have hung me on the cross.
My peace I gave, which the world cannot give, and washed your feet as a servant. But you draw the sword and strike in my name, and seek high places in my kingdom.
I accepted the cup of suffering and death for your sakes, but you scatter and deny and abandon me. I sent the Spirit of truth to lead you, but you close your hearts to guidance.
I called you to go forth and bring fruit, but you cast lots for my clothing. I prayed that you may all be one, but you continue to quarrel and divide.
I grafted you into the tree of my chosen people, Israel, but you turned on them with persecution and mass murder. I made you joint heirs with them of my covenants, but you made them scapegoats for your own guilt.
I came to you as the least of your brothers and sisters. I was hungry, but you gave me no food. Thirsty, but you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, but you did not welcome me. Naked, but you did not clothe me. Sick and imprisoned, but you did not visit me.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal one, have mercy on us. Would you please take a few moments of silence? Now, would you please stand as able as we sing Beneath the Cross of Jesus? Then they took Jesus down from the cross, and they placed him in an empty tomb. Please come back for Easter for the rest of the story. Now go in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. It was wonderful. Thank you.